Random thought. Do you have to have a reason not to like someone? And I'm asking this because you've been doing a lot of research over the last week, and you've been unable to find any reason to dislike Ted Cruz this week, yet I still can feel that disdain you have in your heart for that man and the job that he has done for the fine country of Texas. Not state, but country of Texas.
No, you don't have to have a reason to not like somebody. It's a free country, the United States and Texas, free countries. I could choose to not like you for whatever reason. I could choose not like you because you double parked 2 years ago and I remember your face, I remember your car. I still don't like you. Ted Cruz, won't like him. Ted Cruz can go into every black neighborhood in Texas and make homemade grits and do all these things, give away scholarships, still wouldn't like him.
Ted Cruz goes into any black neighborhood in the country of Texas, and the first thing he'll say is, ew.
He's Cancun is way better than all this shit. Whatever you guys...
It's the reason why I go to Cancun, yeah, goddammit.
Just to get away from you people.
You know, you're absolutely right, though. You really don't need a reason. And, you know, when you don't like somebody, you go, well, you don't even know them. Yeah, you don't need a reason to, right? Even though sometimes all it takes is one thing. And that one thing can be something pretty minor, right? Like, take, for instance... I was watching this boxing match this weekend, right? Mm-hmm. It was Josue Vargas of Puerto Rico from New York versus Jose Zepeda from Mexico via California, right? And Vargas is the younger guy, brash, as most young boxers are. But his attitude in the press conference, which I missed the press conference, but when they talked about it before the fight even got up, I was like, I got to see what this is about. And of course, they showed it. And I went, you know what? He's an asshole. I don't like him. And apparently in that press conference, he wrote a check that his ass couldn't cash. And that knockout is something vicious.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's just crazy. But it's so true because a lot of people say, well, it's not fair to say you don't like someone. You've not had a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's wrong to say, I don't like that person because of their shirt they have on. You know, I think that's wrong. But I've never met Candace Owens.
Right.
I don't like her.
Yeah.
I just don't like her. So never met her. But based on all the things I've seen about her and things that she said, don't like her. You know, don't want to break bread. Don't want to get to know her. She invited me to dinner and said, hey, at least get to know me. I'd be like, no, I'm good.
Tucker Carlson. Never met him.
Tucker, yeah. Don't know him.
Never intend to.
Sean Hannity. Don't know him. Donald Trump. Never met him.
Mm-hmm. Never will.
Omarosa. Nope. Mm-hmm. Don't want to meet you at all. No.
Reggie Mantle. Haven't met him. I think we'd get along. I like Reggie.
It's never going to happen.
You already said if you get married, we will meet.
No, I might have to adjust that. The only way y'all would meet is at my funeral. That's how I'll do it. I'll have to have him like zoom in for the wedding. Don't want him physically there. I'm gonna have him zoom in. He'll be standing there as a groomman with a phone. Somebody's like, you will hold the phone.
I'm gonna let you know something real quick. If I have to meet him at your funeral, I'm bringing the cops with me. Arrest that man. He did it.
But we have a coroner's report that he had a heart attack. No. Reggie did it.
He did it. But like, you just don't like him. No, actually, I've never met him, so I can't say I don't like him. I do like him.
It's funny. Y'all two would get along in a lot of ways. Y'all two would get along.
Yes, we would.
You know,
I know that.
Totally
that's,
would.
And that's why I can't. I can't.
The problem is that the both of you know you can get along, that instead of getting along, you're just going to keep pushing each other's buttons and saying different stuff to go back and forth, and it won't stop. And it's going to kill my buzz as I'm sitting there drinking whiskey, having cigars with the two of you. So I won't let it happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it'll feel like drinking water because, yeah, we'll kill your buzz for real. You'll feel like you're drinking water and chewing on a candy cigarette.
Like, oh, this is painful. Take me now, Jesus. Give me the heart attack.
And that's when I go, hey, 911. I told you I know who did it. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. Well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 60. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
You know, I saw this story, right? And I almost got to ask you, like, because you do a lot of nice things for your employees. I mean, I've seen you talk about, oh, yeah, I've got to go do happy hour for this time zone and this time zone and this time zone. So you do quite a few things. What would you say would be the best thing you've ever done for your employees? Oh, happy hour. My bad.
No. I'm trying to think. I think one of the best things I've ever done, and it's hard to do, but I did it. Mm-hmm. But I did handwritten Christmas cards for all of them. And it was a lot. And it was hard to do because, like, you know, it's so easy just to type up some predictive text and, you know, but to actually make it personal to every single person, that's one of the best things I've done. I wish I could do that again, but it's hard.
I got too many employees right now. I can't do that.
I got 118 people right now.
But if you started back in July, you'd be finished.
But then I have to go make some edits based on if they pissed me off or they did something.
You're always scratch that shit.
Yeah, you're so giving, except that one time when you called me while I was on vacation.
I told you, unless it's an emergency. Well, and one of the best things I saw the story and it's like, this has got to be probably top 10, top 5, top 3, top 2, but not number 2 of things that someone has done for their employees. And that's by the Spanx CEO, who Sarah Blakely. Now, she started Spanx with like $5,000, right? Back in 2000. It's now this $1.2 billion business. And reason for that is because she actually sold, it was an investment from an investment firm, Blackstone. They bought majority stake in Spanx. And so when they did, what she did was reward her employees. Now, she's got over 500 employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she gave each employee $10,000, which, by the way, I just want to say, if she was really thoughtful, she would have made it $9,999 so the IRS wouldn't be checking on them. Because every last one of them that got that $10,000, the IRS is like, hello. So I may have to take her down just a notch. She might be number 2 now. Because she could have made it $9,999. All right. But here's the best part about this, I think. Because the $10,000 is great. They're going to get taxed on that, so they're going to get about $6,000, right? It's still great. It's $6,000 from your CEO, who you know how hard it is to get anything out of CEOs, right?
Right, right.
But she also gave them 2 first-class plane tickets to anywhere in the world, not in the country, in the world. Now, think about this. If you just say 500 employees, now she's got more than 500, but let's just cap it at 500.
Okay.
At $10,000 for each one of those, at 500 employees, what's that? 5 million?
Add 2 zeros. Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Carry the 1, multiply the 3.
Let me get the abacus.
So $5 million, right? Mm-hmm. Now, think about this: these first-class tickets, right? It's 500 first-class tickets times 2. So that's 1,000 first-class tickets anywhere in the world. Now, you're talking probably about $2,000, maybe $2,500 for these first-class flights. Because if you go into the Emirates, you know, you're sleeping in your own little cabin in first class. But let's just, for mathematical sake, let's just round it down to $1,000 per ticket, right?
Okay.
At 500 employees. That's $500,000. Mm-hmm. Multiply that by 2, because remember, it's 2 first-class tickets. That's another $1 million. $6 million that she gave away to her employees because they helped her get to where she is today.
I think it's great. You know, there's so many of these stories of these small businesses that wind up blowing up, mm-hmm. and they have a hedge fund or an investment firm that buys them, and the executives make a killing. Mm-hmm. But those people that were just grinding out in the mailroom, grinding out of those entry-level roles. That's where your bread and butter is, right? You got your thought leaders and the people at the top that are coming up with the vision and direction, but the people doing the actual work,
yes,
you know, are the ones. And so to see a CEO take care of those people and do it fairly, right?
Yes.
Because she could have easily said, my directors are all going to get $20,000 and first class tickets for you and your family to go anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. And then this level gets $10,000 and two first class tickets only for two people mm-hmm. to go. I mean, she just did it fairly, which I thought was very thoughtful.
Yes.
And I think it's great. And I think the people who've been grinding out with her, when you work for a startup, you know, when a company first starts, you got to figure she was probably doing Spanx in her garage, you know, and slowly building this up. And those people that were with you from then, you took care of them. I think it's a great story. I loved it.
And I love what she said, too. She said, I really want every employee to celebrate this moment in their own way and create a memory that will last them a lifetime. I think that right there, because even that $10,000, the two first class tickets, if you say, I want to go to Guam, I want to go to Bora Bora. I've never been. Now you get two first class tickets to Bora Bora. You use that $10,000, some of that $10,000 for your lodging. You're good. She just paid for that. And those are memories you get to create, right? And I mean, again, amazing. I love the fact that she did it. Kudos. I don't wear Spanx. Have no intention of it ever.
Guys wear but, Spanx?
I didn't say guys don't. I said I don't wear Spanx. That's all I said.
I'm just saying if you...
Guys walk around with purses and wear dresses. I'm not saying anything that a man can or can't do.
Don't knock it till you try it. I'm just saying, throw you some Spanx on.
I tell you what, when you put on your Spanx, your dress, and walk around with your purse, you take that picture, post it on Facebook, and I'll give you the thumbs up.
Challenge accepted.
Speaking of challenges, man, I saw this pop up and on Netflix, and I was like, this is Colin Kaepernick's documentary series or whatever it is. I have not looked at it yet. Mm-hmm. But then you sent me something, a clip from it, that has obviously sparked controversy, and he knew it was going to spark controversy.
He sure did. And so, hey, I don't blame him. I still, after seeing this, without watching the whole documentary, I think he needs a better PR person. But Colin Kaepernick in his documentary compares NFL Combine to a slave auction in his Netflix documentary. And so... You know, I have to read some things that he said. You know, what they don't want you to understand is what's being established is a power dynamic.
It is.
Right? Before they put you on the field, teams poke, prod, examine you, searching for any defect that might affect your performance. Which, yes, that happened in slavery, but that's also the same process I use when I'm buying a used car. So I get it. But... I don't know. Well, I know what his, I feel like I know what his thought process was. I'm going to say something for the shock and awe value and get people keep talking about me and all that stuff. Where I feel like he could have chose a different way to do that message, because the way I look at this, and I'm sure other people look at it the same way. So this system that you talked about, that's like slavery, even though they booted you out for an unfair reason, totally agree with that. Totally unfair. But then you tried to come back into it.
Yeah.
And it didn't work out for multitude of reasons. And then you're going to make this type of comment.
Yeah.
So then you're done ever trying to get into the NFL. But it's like, why did you want to come back into it if that was the case? You set up your own combine for them to come see you work out. So you scheduled an event for them to come poke, prod, and look at any defect that you had. You scheduled it. And then you ended it. But now this is the kind of statement you're going to make. I just feel like that's going to get thrown in his face. But again, he did it, so we can keep talking about him. And so it works, but I think you should have got a better, you need to get a better PR person.
Two things. One, he's not the first person to say this, okay? He's not the first NFL player to say this. He's not the first NFL player to try to get back in the league who's also said this, okay? But to your point, he definitely... did it for the shock and awe value and to get people talking. He knows what it is. Because here's the thing about it. It doesn't matter what he says. Those who don't like him are going to not like him. I remember having this conversation. I was in Charleston at the time when this really first kicked off. And I was actually working on a top 40 station. So a lot of the audience, a lot of the clients didn't look like me. Okay, and one particular guy, I'm going to leave his name out of this, mainly because I forgot his name because he wasn't that goddamn important.
Wow.
Exactly. Wow. But he had so many things to say about Colin Kaepernick. And I'm going, you know, a lot of this was said about Muhammad Ali and Rosa Parks. Yeah, but they were doing this. I'm like, but that's not what they were saying back then. So Colin knows no matter what he says right now, people are going to say this. They're going to say that. They're going to keep their opinions, right? So he's like, all right, well, I'm going all in. If I'm going to be the bad guy, say hello to a bad guy. I'm not mad at it. Go ahead. Dive in. Now, do I think it's completely accurate? No. But again, you understand why he said it. Because the poke, the prod, you got to seize this. And is this right? Is that? And people compare it to, like you did, to a car. Or anybody's applying for a job, they're going to check out your references. Yes, and I get it. Their physical attributes. And then they put Tom Brady up. And some of the comments I've seen on Twitter, like Tom Brady, well, I guess, you know, he's a slave too, huh? Well, again, the whole comparison to slavery is kind of asinine in the fact that he got paid millions to do it. But and you knew what you were up for. You knew this was part of the process. Not saying that his comparison is incorrect, but it's in some way you can see where that comparison and what he's talking about is that one process is what's
his comparison comparable. Is incorrect. His comparison is incorrect because it'd be one thing if white athletes only had to take the Wonderlic and then you got assigned to a team and black athletes had to get poked, prodded, and whatever.
He didn't say it was racist.
Compared to slavery, slavery is a key attribute to racism, right? But everybody that was a slave, all black people had to go through that, but it was just the black people. It wasn't white indentured servants that had to get poked and prodded, totally different. But in this case, every athlete, whether you're white, black, green, red, Hawaiian, or whatever, you go through the exact same process. That makes it a little bit different. Now, to your other point, no, he's not the only black athlete to make this comparison, but he's the only black athlete to make this comparison and also to schedule his own slave trade at a football field to let all these people come and poke and prod and all that stuff with him. He set that up. So I just think his whole comparison is bad.
Let me ask you a question.
Let me answer it.
Do you think that if any of the slaves could set up their own slave trade, they would have?
No, because they weren't going to get paid millions wouldn't be the outcome. No. Were they going to be like, he's going to hit me. How many times would you hit a slave? Three. Good answer. Good answer. What about you? You don't believe in hitting. Tell me more. No. That wasn't the case. So it's just a bad analogy. It's a bad comparison. And I feel like he did it intentionally to do this. And it's working. Right? But it's like, come on, man. Why would you make that? Why would you say that?
Because we're here talking about it. And you know what? We can do our part and stop right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Done. Done. Speaking of athletes, let me tell you about this other person who went through the slave trade.
Who is this Frederick Douglass you speak of?
DK Metcalf is a big black buck.
Yo, that dude is built like, I don't know what, because bananas.
The dude is phenomenal. I mean, he will be a Hall of Fame athlete. The dude is insane.
He slaps your girl in the butt. What do you do?
I tell her, like, you say thank you. And we're going to walk away. If I don't have a gun on me, I say that. Because DK Metcalf, you're not fighting him. You got to shoot him. And that's just to slow him down.
No, because that ain't going to stop him.
Ain't going to stop him. But that's just to slow him down. I need to give him a limp. Baby, get in the car. Get in the car. But I love these stories about athletes because there's so much that goes with that lifestyle, right? Of being a star athlete. And we all know women come with that, right? Mm-hmm. Women, fame, all that. So apparently, DK Metcalf connected with someone on OnlyFans. And of course, hit him up in the DMs. He's DK Metcalf. Why would she not be interested? She lives about 4 to 5 hours away from Seattle.
She's seen him shirtless, yes.
So he invites her to his house, which I find interesting because even if I'm on a dating app, I'm not inviting you to my house the first time we meet up. Like, no, we'll meet you at a bar, restaurant, and if things go well, why don't you follow me to my... Like, that would make sense for DK. But you just don't bring somebody to your house. So, invite you to the house. They wind up hooking up as you do. So some months go by. He's hitting her up and wants her to come down to Seattle. So she's like, all right, fine. Let me, I'll get on the road around 5:30 or so. I should be there around 10:30. So he calls her and she's about an hour out. And he's like, hey, I don't think you should come. And she's just like, what? So she's mad, which rightfully so. She's almost there. She's been driving 3.5 hours. And his response to her was like, look, I'm working on a foursome and we don't have enough room for a fifth. So, and I just thought that was so funny. Now, she's pissed. So she's making all these videos talking trash about him, saying that their first encounter lasted only 5 minutes. And whether it was 5 minutes or 5 hours, who cares? You went to go sleep with DK Metcalf. Jesus, you want to sleep with a baller. And you drove down there to do it. So whatever. And then she brings up the fact that she has his address and he has no security at his house. Like, I'm not going to share that with people. I'm like, wow, she is upset. But I had to think about it. I'm like, I don't blame her. If I was driving now you'd have to be a bad chick for me to drive 4 to 5 hours. But if I'm driving 4 to 5 hours and an hour out, you tell me I can't come. And I'm like, why? And you're like, well, I'm working on this threesome right now and I don't really have enough room for a fourth. That's so foul. It's so foul. But I mean, I get it, but that is just jacked up.
Two things here. One.
It's always two things.
It's always two. Because one, if you are scoring DK Metcalf and you've got your OnlyFans, that's where he met you. Not because of his OnlyFans, but because of your OnlyFans. How terrible is your OnlyFans that you have enough money to fly there, okay? Why are you driving 4 or 5 hours? There's no need to drive 4 or 5 hours.
Just because you have an OnlyFans doesn't mean you're loaded. You can have an OnlyFans and not make a dime. You might make barely. You might make $15 a month.
So you say she's like a Perkins waitress.
She could be. I mean, I didn't get a good picture of her. I saw the video of her talking. I can't see what she looks like, but... Mm. Maybe she doesn't make that kind of money. Maybe she's saving. She's in college. She has a kid. You don't know her money situation. That's judgmental. Go ahead, point number two.
Two. Why do women always revert to the, that's why you got a little neck. That's why you can't fuck for long. You know, why? The man was setting up a threesome. What was it good?
Foursome.
No, he was set up a threesome. He didn't want her for the foursome, right?
No, he was set up a foursome. We don't have enough room for a fifth, is what he said.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay, so think about this. According to her math, he was going to give each woman 1 minute and 15 seconds.
Two strokes. One, two.
You're next. I mean, come on. Why would you even, if you were driving 4.5 to 5 hours to go see this man, it wasn't for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Guaranteed. And anybody who watches football, who's seen this man run down Buda Baker, who was on the way with an interception, a pick six from the end zone, and watch him run him down from across the field, knows that ain't no 5 minute man.
Well, here's the thing, and I feel like maybe this is something more women do than guys. I would never, because I, whatever reason, somebody doesn't want to talk to me, they're not interested in me, I'm not going to slam them for how they were in bed.
What are you going to say? That's why you're a wood.
No, I don't say anything. I'm just like, all right, well.
Exactly.
Right,
what are you going to say?
It doesn't work out. I mean, like, you're not interested. I can't be upset about that. But I'm not going to be like, oh, that's why you can only be on top for like 2 minutes before you get tired. You know, I'm not going to like make a big issue out of it.
What are you gonna say? Like, I don't like fish anyway.
I'm just saying, I wouldn't run somebody through the coals sexually publicly to people.
Yes.
Because of that. And I find that more women will do that and kind of talk trash about the dude, whether it's true or not, whether he's 5 minutes or not, who cares? Like, I don't look at him for his sexual prowess. I look at him like, God, how big is this dude? And running down the field like that, catching balls, he's phenomenal. I don't need to see his sex game for me to add any more to that. I'm like, he's phenomenal for what I need to see him do. Done.
Well, let's be honest. If it's 5 minutes, it's a race. And as you can see, he wins every race he runs, even when the other person has a head start. If you've seen that play.
So the problem is, the young lady from OnlyFans, you need to work on your concentration game. You need to focus. You're dealing with a bunch of stuff in your head. He was focused. He had a mission. He's like, I got things to do. I got a little bit of time. Let me take care of this real quick. She should have been in that same mindset. I drove down here. I'm going to get mine. And great. So it's her fault, what we're saying?
The thing about it is he had this offer for the threesome or the foursome, and she obviously wasn't good enough for him to be like, we'll add you to the mix. So there's a reason why he told a turnaround. There's a reason why he told a turnaround. You know, but I mean, so OnlyFans is interesting because, you know, you've got OnlyFans where this woman obviously can't afford to fly. And then you've got OnlyFans, which gets you banned again. Another OnlyFans getting banned. What's going on here?
So that's what's up. We have to stop trying to criminalize sex work. It's a legit business. Now, people on OnlyFans, it's not only sexually explicit content. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it is. They have the power to be able to do that, but they control the content. It's theirs, and you have to subscribe to be able to see it. So you have this woman in, of all places, Florida, mm-hmm. and she is a very active mom, and she's very active in volunteering. And when you volunteer for kids, you know, you got to go through background checks and all that. She did all that. She'd been working with these kids for years. She also has an OnlyFans account. Mm. Now, apparently, a parent subscribed to her OnlyFans to see the content, took screen grabs, and sent that to the officials at the school board to where now she can't volunteer. She's banned from volunteering because of what they called her occupation. And so she's getting a lawyer, of course, and I think she's suing for like $1 million. But to me, rightfully so. I think if you have an OnlyFans account, be a mom. Be whatever you want. No one should judge. And I feel like these other women are just haters because their husbands have been subscribing, watching the lady in the neighborhood do her OnlyFans thing, and they're just jealous. Rather than just calling her for tips saying, hey, I saw that video that you did for my husband. Where'd you get that outfit at? How do I do that? Do I need to do yoga to get in that move that you did? Like, why would you hate on this person for that? But we got to stop, like, criminalizing these people for doing this work.
So I was about to say, I mean, they did not subscribe just to get the pictures and do that. And what happened was they came across one of those angry women, those spiteful women, one of those nosy neighbors came across her husband's subscription to that OnlyFans. So and went, I know
Adam,
that bitch.
Adam 1974, that's my husband.
She literally went on her husband's account and saw this and recognized that woman and went, wait a minute. Is this why when he comes to the room, he never wants to make whoopee with me? And probably because you call it making whoopee.
Please don't ever say make whoopee again. Please don't ever say that.
I'm just trying to put you in the mind of some of these angry, bitter housewives.
Is that what I have to look forward to when I get married? Do I refer to it as whoopee? Is that what happens?
No, my wife and I definitely do not refer to it as making whoopee.
Are we going to put the beds together tonight? Send. I agree with you, though. You're right. I think that somebody's bitter and upset, but we have to stop criminalizing these people that want to do these OnlyFans deals. It's a good business. They're able to make their own kind of money. People subscribe to their content. They have to put work into the content. It's not just free money, because anytime I see these stories, one of the things I like to go to is I like to look at the comments. And people commenting saying the most ignorant things, such as, we're out here working, you know, hard to provide for our families, working 40, 50 hours a week, when this person just posting up nudes. A, it takes effort to post up nudes. It also takes a level of confidence. You got to take care of your body. It's not just random selfies. It takes work to do this work. Even if you're in porn, it's not just like, you know, what are you doing today? I guess I'm going to go shoot a porn. Like, you got to be in some kind of shape. You got to have something to you. But these women got to stop hating on other women who have OnlyFans accounts. If you don't like it, create your own. But the thing is, the people who are upset, they wouldn't have the fan base. They wouldn't have anybody to subscribe.
You need to be upset when it's somebody ugly that's doing OnlyFans and making money. This woman looks good. You know she's making money. You know your husband's watching. Get over it.
But you know what? There are some ugly people making OnlyFans, and they're making money. There's a target audience for people that like all kind of weird, creepy crap.
Well, one of the things that people don't like is apparently funny T-shirts at Disney. This couple photographed in Disney World, and the person who posted this put clown faces over their faces, you know, clown heads over their faces. But the guy's wearing a shirt that says, I gave her the D. Now, the D looks like the Disney
logo.
D, right?
Yep.
It's the Disney logo, and you see Magic Kingdom right below it. And then she said, what? Her says, I wanted the D. Now, who is more at fault here? Them for wearing the shirts or your dirty mind for thinking this was something erotic and childish and raunchy?
I think it is your dirty mind for thinking this is childish and raunchy and your ignorant mind thinking that little kids are going to, A, be able to read that shirt, B, understand what it means. So calm it down, Karen. It's not that big a deal. And she showed consent. She said she wanted the D and she got the D. Isn't that what we all want right now? Isn't that what we want in the world? Just consent. He wanted to give her the D. She wanted the D. They went to the D place. And it was beautiful. It was magical.
The power of logos. Those kids that can actually read the shirt are going to go, Mommy, I wanted the Disney too.
Okay, stop right there. I need you to stop. I need you to stop right there. That here's the line. You're way over here right now with that. So let's just bring that back. I think no kid would understand.
That's what I say. They would see the D and think of it as Disney. They would understand the logo and go, the Disney.
Got it. No.
See,
no,
that's why your mind went somewhere that it shouldn't have just now.
No.
We're going to have to end this podcast because your mind is way too corrupt to think that here it is. You took something very innocent because the kid wanted to go to Disneyland, and here you are turning this into something sexual.
Get close to the camera. Stick your lips out.
No. Never in your life again tell me to get closer to where you are and stick my lips out. Ever. You know what? This podcast is over.
Is it bringing a relapse back to your prison days? Is that what's happening?
One of us has spent time in prison.
It wasn't
that
prison.
That person's not wearing a gray shirt.
It was jail. It was jail. It wasn't prison. It was one overnight stay.
I'm just saying. One of us has done it. One of us hasn't.
Whatever.
What are you sipping on today, man?
Four Roses Day. It was a long weekend. Had a great weekend and the whole Halloween thing and passing out candy to kids. I've never done that before. That was interesting. So after all this weekend and after a long day on a Monday, I'm like, it's Four Roses time.
What's that? Single barrel?
Small batch. Small batch.
Word.
You talked me into it. You educated me.
I'm doing the single barrel.
Oh, look at that. Great minds think alike, sir.
Except when it comes to Disney shirts, apparently.
Apparently. You take it to a whole new level.
I kept it clean.
Did you, though?
You know what? Listen here, Pepe Le Pew. I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
And make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers, brother.